Dan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Mr. Wayne Hage, and this is the first time we've actually had an opportunity to interview Wayne, but he's been on the front lines of this battle for private property rights for many years. He's a rancher. Well, I'm going to let him tell you his story. Mr. Hage, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners who don't know who you are, a little of your background, and then how you got into this battle trying to preserve the water rights on your property.
Well, to go a little bit into background, I'm a lifetime Nevadan. Myself, my family have been associated with the ranching and mining industries, well, I guess you'd say since 1852 in this state. And in 1978, I bought a ranch in central Nevada, and shortly after I bought it, in fact, within about 2 months after I bought it, the National Park Service showed up, and two fellows contacted me and identified themselves being with the National Park Service, said they'd like to talk to me. I said, fine, I'll sit down and talk with you. And they said, we're going to buy your ranch. I said, okay, how much are you going to pay me for it? And they offered about half what I just got through paying for it. I said, well, how did you come up with that number? And they said, well, you've got about 7,000 acres of land here. It's worth so much an acre, and that's the way we came up with it. I said, well, what about all of this range land where I own all of the water rights and the right to graze? That's an inheritable right. And what are you going to pay me for that? They said, oh, no. They said, that's public land, and the government already owns that, so we don't have to buy that from you.
Well, now, of course, when you purchased the ranch, you got this other right as well. Is that right?
Certainly.
All right. And this has been passed on for how many years before? How long before did the people who owned your ranch have the grazing rights and water rights on the adjacent public land?
Those rights were established basically between the years 1865 and 1880.
All right, fine. So you told them, I assume, that you really weren't interested in selling for a ridiculous price.
That's correct. And I told them, I said, look, you guys go on back to Washington, D.C., do your homework, and if it turns out that these are public lands like you claim and I don't have any rights out here, then we'll talk about your price. But if you find out they're not public lands, then we're going to talk about my price. They never came back, but what was done, and you have to remember that these agencies work together hand in hand. And so the next thing we knew, we were under intense harassment from the United States Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management.
Well, now, why did they want your land in the first place? I mean, they've got, nine-tenths of the land there in Nevada already, don't they? What, 8 or 9-tenths of the land?
Well, it's been phrased that way. Our case has proved that that's not true. Now, we have to look at it, let's look at it from their perspective. And this is a long story, and we don't have a opportunity to go into it on a short radio program like this. But bottom line, the United States debt.
Hold that thought for just a moment, and just be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Wayne Hage, who had bought a ranch in Nevada, a 7,000-acre ranch, with the grazing rights and the water rights on the adjacent property. About what year was that you did buy the property, Wayne?
1978.
All right. Why don't you pick up this story? Apparently what had happened is the government came shortly after he bought it and announced they wanted to buy his land, government agents, and they wanted to pay him half what he'd paid for it, and of course telling him that it was only worth a certain limited amount because he did not really have the grazing rights that he had bought and paid for and the water rights on the adjacent public lands. Now, you pick up the story from there.
Okay, let's get a few terms straight. Number one, if there are rights and claims attached to the land, the United States Supreme Court has told us repeatedly that that is not public land, and that's what the controversy was over.
Well, he's talking about the fact that, despite the fact that the Supreme Court and the laws of our land have given these rights to the ranchers to use the rangeland, and these are inheritable rights, they've been around for over 100 years, it would appear that there are people within the bureaucracy who have a different agenda, and as Wayne has pointed out, why the environmental movement really seems to feel that in many respects it knows far better than the bureaucracy, than the law, than the courts, what should be done. And so they have been working, of course, to take away this land, as they already control a great deal of land there. But they want to, well, go ahead, pick up the story there, please.
The way, and let's go back to where we were and the question that was asked, the way they come after people is to come after them for violations of rules and regulations. Now, why is a rancher under rule and regulation anyway? That goes back to the period of time, 1916-1917, when the Forest Service, which was set up originally as a land office for the purpose of adjudicating the private rights in the lands withdrawn as forest reserves and national forests, when they realized that when they got done with the adjudication, they were going to be out of business and they would lose control of this these vast portions of the West, they set out a range improvement program and a range improvement fund. They basically told the ranchers, look, if you'll continue to sign a grazing permit, and you had to have that permit when you were involved in the adjudication, if you'll continue to sign that permit and pay grazing fees, we'll set aside 50% of that in a fund that all of you ranchers can dip into from time to time and have money for major range improvements. It's purely offer and acceptance. They offer the benefits, you accept, and you're locked into a contractual agreement. In 1947, the Bureau of Land Management did the same thing. That was the way the agencies were able to maintain control over the ranchers. Now, what they do under that permit, and their regulations under that permit, is charge you with violation of the regulations. Now, when you go to court to fight that, you're going to go to federal district court. Federal district court generally does not have jurisdiction over property issues. And so you find yourself trying to defend your property in a court that doesn't have jurisdiction. The only thing the court can hear is the government's argument about how you violated the rules and regulations, and you lose. Now, to walk through a Forest Service appeal and through federal district court on one of their charges, you can figure it's going to cost you somewhere between $50,000 and $250,000.
And of course, most farmers do not have that amount of money, and so they simply bankrupt them or discourage them from doing what they have the perfect right to do, because they have unlimited government funds, and the poor farmers have to pay the taxes to provide those unlimited government funds.
Now, what we did was something entirely different. We recognized that what we were talking about was a property issue. And if you're going to argue property on the federal level, and the only time you get in an argument with the federal government over property, because they don't have jurisdiction to begin with, is when the government is involved in a taking. And when the government is involved in a taking, then that action must properly be before the United States Court of Federal Claims. So we filed our complaint in the United States Court of Federal Claims over the government taking of our property by imposing so many rules and regulations on us that we could no longer operate economically. And the court has agreed with us on that. And in the process of doing that, the court had to sort out this argument. Are these public lands or are they something else? And it took us 10.5 years in the courts to resolve that one, but the court ruled in our favor and said, no, we have an inheritable right to use those lands. If I were to die tomorrow, the IRS would come in and impose an inheritance tax on those lands, and my heirs would pay that inheritance tax because I own an inheritable right to use. And the definition of an inheritable right to use is a fee. That's why the court said in our case that we have title to these fee lands.
Now, how did the bureaucracy take that? Because the bureaucracy has an agenda. They don't care what the law is so much. So what did they do after they had lost the case in court?
Well, basically, it would appear at the present time that the bureaucracy is in somewhat of a flux over all of this because, as one of their own retired solicitors said a couple of years ago, and he stated this in the paper, that this decision in Hage v. U.S. basically means the end of the Forest Service involved in range issues.
Well, couldn't we just get them doing something that would be useful instead of harassing the farmers? Wouldn't we be better off just to do away with that Forest Service authority completely?
Well, it comes back to the fundamental question, how do you get rid of a bureaucracy when it is long established and has taken on a life of its own, and the driving force in the bureaucracy is to maintain its own existence. Right down to the lowest level, you take the people that work in these bureaucracies, their primary objective and primary motivation is preserving their own dental plans and medical plans and retirement and their weekly paycheck. That's their motivation. And so whatever they can do, if they have to create the problem, which they usually do, to justify their existence, they will continue to try to function on that basis. However, with our case in the United States Court of Federal Claims, it appears it's going to cost them very, very heavily for having done that, and if they continue to do that, it's going to cost them even more. So the deterrent is basically to cut into their budget, because whatever they have to pay out on this case, it appears is going to have to come out of the budgets of the BLM and the Forest Service.
Now, they're going to then have to pay your legal fees, which I assume are rather stupendous.
Well, I think at the bare minimum they'd have to pay legal fees, court costs, the fair market rent value of this ranch for the 13 years that they have been trying to manage it since we've been in court, and the 13 years they've been trying to impose their rules and regulations on me after I took it to court, plus damages. So it would appear that they're going to be faced with that amount at compound interest from the time that the date of the taking, which was July of 1991.
Now, is there any way to bring a lawsuit against the individuals who've done this, or is it simply a case against the government, in quotation marks, as such? Which means that the people who have been misinterpreting the laws get off scot-free, and the taxpayer has to pick up the cost of their malfeasance, and these people get a chance to retire with their fat pensions. That doesn't seem fair.
Well, let's take the first question. That's a multiple question, and let's see if we can break it down. Let's take the first question. Do these people get off scot-free? No, they don't, because the one rule that you don't violate when you're in the bureaucracy, and I've worked for both the Forest Service and BLM, the one rule you don't violate is do anything that is going to hurt the budget of the agency. That's the no-no. So the people that have been involved in running up this huge bill against the Forest Service and BLM, I think they already know who they are. We've had indications of that. Watching them in trial, I think they know who they are, that they're going to be axed from the agency. they're going to lose that dental plan and their retirement and the other things that they have worked so hard to protect. So, no, they don't get off scot-free. But the other question is, what do you do about these people? Okay, you've got two ways to go. If a person wants to go after the individual bureaucrat or the rules and regulations, you can take that argument to federal district court. Now, your chances of winning in federal district court, I think the national average is about 4%. I don't think those are very good odds.
Right.
And the bureaucrat is almost always protected by, well, he was actually doing what he was supposed to do, and he has great latitude in his discretion. That's a very hard burden to meet if you're a plaintiff in that kind of a case. The other alternative is just take it to the United States Court of Federal Claims and say, look, you're the United States. You're too big and tough for me. Besides, I don't like to fight. So I'm not arguing that the United States can't take my property, but the same constitutional authority you use to take my property also says you have to pay for it, so go get your checkbook. That's basically what you're saying in the United States Court of Federal Claims.
All right, see, and so, but now, do they still want to take your property? Are they willing to pay a fair price for this? Or have they sort of backed away from that now that they are going to have to pay all the court fees and all?
Well, we see a backing away, considerable backing away at the top levels. But we still see people down at the low levels, and keep in mind these people in the low levels of the Forest Service and BLM, they really don't have a clue as to what's going on, and the people above usually don't tell them or feed them disinformation, as they have in this case, because they're the people that end up having to do the dirty work. If they get caught, well, then the low-level people get thrown to the wolves, and the people above are protected. So the people down at the lower levels are usually kept unknowledgeable, let's put it that way. And so we still have some of the lower level people coming out and trying to exercise dominion and control over the ranch. But the longer they do that, the more the end price goes up. And we expect the court to take care of that in the final judgment.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a few minutes. Mr. Wayne Hayes, his case before the United States Supreme Court, and certainly in property circles, is one of a very, very important one. We'll be back here in just a moment to evaluate more of this attack on private property. The greatest enemy we have is not the communists overseas. It's the bureaucracy here in America intent upon taking away our freedom. Our four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out.
Leading edge.
Listen to this four tape set. You will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large, until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Wayne Hage, and his case went before the Supreme Court and was adjudicated in his favor. Why, of course, a principle was established that certainly these inheritable grazing rights and water rights really do belong to the farmers. Now, has this helped any of the other ranchers, or are they still, many of the other ranchers, still under the gun?
Let me go back and correct something so we don't get off on a wrong thought here for the listeners. This case has not been before the United States.
Oh, it has not. Okay.
This case is in the United States Court of Federal Claims. Now, if either side decides to appeal the trial court ruling, then it would go to the Fed Circuit. That's in Washington, D.C. That's the appellate court.
All right.
And if it's appealed out of there, then it would go to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
Now, to your second question, has anybody else benefited? We're seeing the effects of this right now in several other states, and the way the agencies are looking at the rancher. Basically, what has happened here, and you have to understand why. You asked the question early on, why does the government want the land? Why does the government want the water? You have to remember the government has to have capital assets as a collateral base upon which it bases its borrowing. As you know, we lost our gold and silver back in the period 1933 and shortly thereafter. And so the collateral base for our borrowing has, since that time, been the natural resources of the United States and the other capital assets of the United States, such as Bureau of Reclamation dams, etc.
Now, are you suggesting then that this collateral is being used to borrow money from either our own people or from foreign governments?
The debt was internalized until Lyndon Johnson. And they used to teach us in school in economics we didn't have to worry about the debt or the deficit because the debt was internalized, which meant that only Americans could theoretically hold United States Treasury bonds. Therefore, we owed it to ourselves. We didn't have to worry about it. During the Lyndon Johnson administration, the burden of the Vietnam War and the Great Society spending, they did the unthinkable and externalized the debts. Today, foreign entities hold approximately 50% of that debt, I believe, as of the last figures that I've seen. which means that foreign entities hold the first mortgage lien on approximately 50% of our natural resource base. Now, that should explain why we have an environmental movement. You can't tell people that the reason we're having to take Joe's farm or Pete's recreational second home or whatever it might be is because we have to have more capital assets in the hands of the government to back the debt. You can't tell people that. You'd have blood in the streets if they told people that. What they tell them is we have to protect a butterfly here, we have to protect clean water there, we have to protect an endangered species of snail here, or a certain kind of plant because it may have the cure for cancer. We've heard all of these things. We hear them continuously. And that allows the government then to come in under rules and regulations and take away your ability to use your property, and that is the property. Property is the relationship of the person to the thing. It's not the thing itself. Land is not property. Land is the subject of property. The property lies in your relationship to that land, your ability to use it. And when they take away that ability to use it, they've taken your property. And again, we understood that, and so what we did is we went to the United States Court of Federal Claims and said, if you want this property, for whatever reason, that's your business, but pay for it, and pay for it at fair market value.
And of course, that's the last thing they want to do. They want to get it at half value. They certainly don't want to have to put all that money out, because really the federal government's having tremendous problems meeting its debts, isn't it? Is this the basis of so much of what they're doing?
Well, the scenario that we see going on in the country today is not any different than what has been repeated many, many times down through history. When governments ran out of money and ran out of assets to borrow against, the only thing to do was to take them away from the people. Now, you can do that forcefully. That's been done many times through history. Or the traditional thing down through history is to pay for the people's property with government bonds and then default on the bonds. So how this is going to play out, I don't know.
It's sort of what they did down in Argentina, where they've impoverished. Half the people there live below the poverty line simply because of government irresponsibility and defaulting on their other obligations.
Well, that's true. That's the history of the world. It's happened over and over and over. And we're involved in the same type of scenario in the country today.
And, of course, at one time we had a gold-backed currency without the massive debt. It seems that we're repeating the same problems that Greece and Rome and pre-Hitler Germany did. We'll be back in just a moment here with Wayne Hage. And welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, that we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111. That's 1-888-302-7111. And ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Wayne Hage, and of course he's been on the front line of this battle for private property rights for many, many years. What is it, 13 years you've been in this battle?
That is correct. It'll be 13 years this September, yes.
Well, you know, I've heard you make the statement before about how really the property that is controlled by the government and is used as collateral for our debt. And, you know, I've never really understood it until you explained it this time. But, of course, America has a tremendous amount of debt. I don't think the average citizen realizes that we're having to borrow from foreign countries right now between $1.6 and $1.7 billion every day. If they quit buying our debt, the game is over. They'll have to start monetizing the debt, create runaway inflation, and we'll end up just like pre-Hitler Germany, Argentina of a few years ago, Russia of 10 years ago. Has anybody actually ever admitted this in the government, that this is why they're doing what they're doing? They have to have the land as collateral for the debt?
Well, again, to come out and state that publicly, And let the people know what was going on, obviously there'd be blood in the streets. You don't do that. Governments don't do that. Historically, they've never done that. And again, that's why we have the environmental movement, which is the stalking horse behind which property is taken from private individuals and conveyed into the hands of government. Nature Conservancy, often referred to as the United States broker. Basically, the way they operate is the environmentalists come up with an endangered species somewhere. Let's just use an example down in southern Nevada. They come up with the desert tortoise, and the desert tortoise is endangered, they say. Now, the desert tortoise and cattle have been getting along together out there for over 100 years, but all of a sudden, now we have to get rid of the cattle to protect the endangered desert tortoise. So, just take a hypothetical here. Here's a guy at the ranch. He's running 600 head of cattle. Here comes the Bureau of Land Management and says, we've got an endangered tortoise out here, and you're going to have to get rid of half your cattle. The guy says, well, look, I can just barely make a living with 600 head of cattle. Well, that's your problem, not ours. So the guy starts looking for a buyer for the ranch. Buyer comes along and realizes that they've got an endangered species listed on his ranch. There are no buyers. And he tries to fight it in the courts. When he's finally broke and has no other way to go, here comes Nature Conservancy. They come in and buy it for pennies on the dollar. They spin off what the government wants back to the government, and then they usually sit on certain parcels for future speculative purposes.
In other words, they go ahead and they sell that off in small parcels, or they make a lot of money on that? Is that what happens?
What they usually do is sell off the range and range water rights back to the government. That's the way the city of Las Vegas has expanded. The city of Las Vegas is basically built on grazing allotments that were essentially confiscated from the ranchers that were in that area. And when the government gets that fee, the inheritable right to use, when they can get that back from the rancher, then they can turn around and sell it to somebody that wants to build a casino or a shopping center or a subdivision of some kind. And that's the way the process works. And the Nature Conservancy basically steps in there as the broker that handles the transaction.
Well, now, what you're saying then is Las Vegas needs that water. Is the water rights then that no longer belong to the rancher, that somehow, whether, how does Las Vegas get hold of the water rights there?
Well, the way they get a hold of the water rights is just like we've seen in our own case. Las Vegas is desperately short of water. They're one of the fastest growing cities, if not the most fast, the fastest growing city in the country. They have a water crisis. The Department of Interior has been working with Las Vegas for years to try to get more water for them. Now, you take the water on our ranch, and let's just take the water on the northern end, the surface water on the northern end, about 20,000 acre feet. All right? If they could come in and, like they tried to do, and drive me out of business and have Nature Conservancy come in and buy that water and the entire ranch, and they had us down to where that'd be about $1.75 million for the entire ranch. All right? We have also shown at trial that if you take those water rights and value them for their potential highest and best use, which would be to supply water to Las Vegas or even Los Angeles, then that ranch may have a value as high as $263
million. $263 million, considering the water rights. So what they really want is almost to steal it and then utilize it for other purposes.
That's correct. There's no point in going in and buying those water rights if they have to pay fair market value. The name of the game is to drive a person into bankruptcy, and then and that's what they do sometimes, is drive a person into bankruptcy. I'm thinking of certain specific situations, and then buy the place out of bankruptcy for pennies on the dollar, and then they have that big asset in the water that they will immediately mark up on their books to the full market value. Another thing to keep in mind, that some of the major players in this water game in the West are, again, foreign companies. If you look at Suez, Vivendi, a couple of French companies, Thames out of Germany, I believe they're based out of Germany, they're some of the major players. Now, the water in, let's say, the Boise Valley, around Boise, Idaho, that water is owned by United Water Company. And if you do a due diligence on United Water Company, you'll trace them back to the French company Suez. They then argue that in their, I shouldn't say argue, but they state in their brochure that their objective is to become the largest water company in the world. They own all the fresh water in South Korea, and they own water all over the world. A barrel of fresh water today in many parts of the world is worth far more than a barrel of oil. And so the game is to get your hands on the water, to control the fresh water.
And you control the water.
That's what's going on in the West, and that's what's going on with the ranchers in the West.
And you control the water, you control the people as well. And the people
Absolutely.
Are totally dependent upon it.
Absolutely.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And it almost sounds to me like this is almost like a criminal enterprise in many respects, you know, because when you have these environmental groups working in conjunction with government and, of course, working in conjunction with either municipal governments or private water companies, this is almost, well, I would think that would come under a RICO statute of some sort.
Well, some people have suggested that, and I know that that has already been raised in one case. I believe it's in Wyoming, and some of the Bureau of Land Management people have been singled out, and the court has said they can be tried individually for some of their involvement in these conspiracies. I think we're going to see more and more of that as it comes to light, exactly what is happening by using the environmental movement and the federal agencies to destroy people and their livelihood and take their property for other purposes.
And of course, if they can do it to you, they can do it to anybody out there in the listening audience. And most people really don't have the funds or the determination or even the knowledge of how to address this. You really need to have a lawyer who really understands what he's doing, don't you? Otherwise, you end up in an administrative court and you automatically lose.
That's a pretty good way to sum it up. I would suggest, and I'm sure there's a lot more lawyers out there than the four that I'm acquainted with, but I've been involved in this litigation for 13 years, and off the top of my head, I can think of four lawyers in the United States that I would even consider going to handle a case before the United States Court of Federal Claims. That's a specialized a field of litigation, and you're not going to go down on the street corner and hire good old Joe that you went to high school with to handle a takings case before the United States Court of Federal Claims, because we're talking property, and to find lawyers that even understand the language of property in this day and age, where we've been subject to administrative law for many, many decades in this country. Most lawyers don't even know how to talk the language. They don't even know the terms. They don't know how to take it into the right court. And so a person has to be extremely careful about selecting a lawyer to do that kind of work.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Fred, who's calling in from Salinas. Hi, Fred. Did you have a question?
Yes, I just want to tell your guest that the same the same story that you tell about the land, the Nature Conservancy and the NRDC is doing the very same thing out in the ocean, breaking the fishermen and then buying their licenses out, and now they're even trying to buy the bottom of the ocean so that they control not only the top of the ocean but the bottom. And that's happening up in the Bering Sea, all along the Alaska coast, up and down the whole west coast. And
What? We're losing our freedom, aren't we, Fred?
Just about. And one other thing I wanted to say is that the chief lawyer for the NRDC is Joseph, or the Kennedy Jr. boy. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the chief lawyer for the National Resources Defense Council.
All right. Thanks so very much, Fred. Huh? Let's go to Marilyn, who's calling from Sacramento. Hi, Marilyn. Did you have a question?
Well, I just want to say this is an extremely important issue, and it is certainly true that we are having our land taken. I just hope he can get this out to more people. I've just returned from the American Independent Party / Constitution Party convention here in Sacramento, and, you know, Bill Shearer was an expert on water law that had to do with California, and he is an attorney. Now, we wouldn't want to take litigation at this point, but I hope that you can make your case to the American Independent Party and to the Constitution Party.
Well, I think actually last weekend I attended a meeting with Mr. Hayes, and Michael Perutka and other representatives of the Constitution Party were there, so they're well aware of what he's talking about.
Well, I hope that we can get this out and really, really make it understood. And I'm also happy to hear him talk about the Nature Conservancy, because they are everywhere, and they are a money-making machine and a land confiscation machine, and turning it around for their own use.
All right, Mr. Hayes, do you have any comment on what Marilyn is saying?
Well, the only comment that I would make is we have to remember the gentleman before was talking about how they're trying to get control of the ocean bottom, the fishing, this type of thing. We all have to remember that all wealth originates in the land or on the sea. No wealth develops in society unless it comes from what is mined or what is grown or what is harvested from the sea. And so the object today is to get their hands on the source of all wealth and to take that out of the hands of individual American citizens. And that's what the environmental movement is all about. That's what it was always all about.
Right.
And that's what it's about today.
All right. quite fine. Thanks very much.
Thank you for exposing this, and I wish there were something we could do besides just try to spread the word. And
well, Marilyn, you just get copies of this tape and copy them and get them out to everybody you can think of.
I certainly shall. Thank you.
Let's go to Linda calling from Wisconsin. Hi, Linda. How are you doing?
Good evening. Thanks for taking my call. This is a very serious matter, and the one thing that I haven't really heard mentioned is the United Nations. When I was living in Utah, Governor Leavitt didn't do anything when President Clinton stood on the Arizona side and literally gave away millions of acres of the Escalante land to the United Nations.
Well, they don't give it to the United Nations. They just bring it under their control. It's still, you know, the United Nations tells our bureaucrats what to do, and then they impose it upon us. I don't think, Mr. Hayes, they don't really give this property to the United Nations, do they? Isn't there some misunderstanding about how that works?
Well, let's put it this way. Again, what is property? Property is the relationship of the person to the thing. It is not the thing itself. So whoever controls the property rights is in fact the owner, even though the title holder could be someone else.
Would you say then that the United Nations actually controls the property?
Well, in many cases it does.
All right, fine. Well, then
I know that there are biospheres in Tennessee. I've seen photographs of them, where it says right on the sign that this is a United Nations biosphere and that you have to have permission to go into that particular park.
Well, if you've got the heritage sites, the average American doesn't understand that we really are transferring the control of our property to supranational organizations, but they don't understand that there is an organized, orchestrated effort to bring about a world, in my estimation, fascist system of government where we will lose our property rights and our freedom. Hey, thank you so very much for calling, Linda. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Well, I don't see the Bush administration, except for maybe a few in there, maybe a Ron Paul or one of those other good congressmen, but there's very few that are stepping forward to fight against what's happening to our land.
Let me make a comment on that, if I could.
All right.
The problem with the taking of our property is because we have had three generations grow up in this country under socialism.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think in terms of property anymore. We think in terms of rules and regulations. We don't think in terms of personal responsibility anymore. We think in terms of what government agency or what elected official is going to do it for us. But what we've learned over the years is that they don't do it for us, they do it to us. Now,
you're a very
let's
wise
go back,
man.
Just a moment. Let's go back to the Escalante National Monument over there in southern Utah. All of those ranchers in there on that monument owned a fee interest in the use of those lands. I was over there and talked to them two, three times, and I said, what you people need to do is state your claim. Come forward with your claim that your rights were adjudicated a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
and you own an inheritable right to use these lands, and they can't run you off of them without paying you compensation. If they have to pay you compensation, that's too much. They're not going to want it. The problem there, just like in most places, is people want Ron Paul or their governor or their legislature or someone else to do it for them, rather than stepping forward and making their claim. We have to remember that a right undefended is a right waived, and if we will not stand for our property rights, we're going to lose them.
Thank you so very much. And thank you so much for calling, Linda.
Thank you,
Wayne, for being with us. It's been a real pleasure, and I hope we can get you on again one of our other programs.
Well, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, Ode to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy,
and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kahn will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kahn.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we really need to remind you that we carry all sorts of fascinating information about property rights, about this whole movement. They call it sustainable development. They call it Agenda 21. Let me suggest our, first of all, our syllabus, it's entitled Sustainable Development. And then we have another syllabus. We have a four-tape set on sustainable development. We have our original video on sustainable development. And then we have a new one called Sustainable Development, The Road to World War III. That's Sustainable Development, The Road to World War III. And you need to have this information. You need to understand that there is a master plan behind everything going on. And this plan involves population control. There really are people with a Malthusian view who want to kill off vast numbers of people in the world, which is why we're not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic. That all you hear is rhetoric about, oh, we're so concerned about AIDS, we're going to move the AIDS quilt around. No, they're letting this disease spread. It has killed 500,000 people in this country unnecessarily. If you haven't read my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, you need to get it. You need to get our four-tape set on population control. You need to get our video on population control. You need to get our population control agenda monograph. And if you buy any of the items I've mentioned, either my book or the video or the four-tape set on population control, and simply ask for a free copy of the population control agenda monograph, we'll send it to you. Of course, you can get that in the Sustainable Development Syllabus. You need to have that because it will give you the documentation, the Earth Charter, the Global Biodiversity Assessment, the plan for control of your water, the plan for mass genocide, because there really is. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we need to remind our listening audience that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do. 5 hours every day by radio somewhere in America, 5 hours every day on the Internet, 4 hours every day on shortwave, 4 hours every day on satellite, and hopefully soon to be 5 hours every day on satellite. And, of course, overall, somewhere between 50 and 60 stations or outlets every week somewhere in America. We need your help to continue doing what we're doing. We need your help to expand, and we picked up within the last 6 months 5 great new stations in the eastern, northeastern part of the United States. But we need to expand that a dozen times over. And if you believe in what we're doing, remember the last means we have of reaching people is by radio. Now, if you have friends, they can listen to us on shortwave 4 hours a day. If you have friends, they can listen on the Internet, but they have to know, or they're going to usually have to believe that there always is a problem to do that. There are lots of ways, incidentally, that you can listen to your radio. We have a little transmitter you can put attached to your computer, and then you can go anywhere in the house and listen to FM radio or the other things. Or you can go to Radio Shack and get earphones and go anywhere in the house. You don't have to sit by the computer. One of our listeners even told me that she has a wire run from her computer to a speaker in her kitchen, and she does her work there listening to our program several hours a day. So there are lots of ways to get the information, but we want to educate you so you can educate others. Go to our website at radioliberty.com, and of course you can pull down our newsletters and copy them and get them out. Our last newsletter, May-June of this year, 2004. Who is Osama bin Laden? Who is he really? I think you'll be shocked to know who Osama bin Laden really is. And then, of course, we suggest that you look at the various items we have advertised there. We actually carry the Berkey products, and if you buy the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light through us, why, you'll get a four tape set or a video that we produce. So we hope that many of you will want to get the Berkey products or the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum or the shortwave radio or the other things that we offer there at our website. But the biggest thing would be, of course, to go to the internet and listen to the archive programs or listen to the live programs and encourage your friends to do that. Now, if you really want to understand this effort to take away our property rights, you have to understand sustainable development. And we have a great syllabus. There's nothing like it. There we have summarized the master plan. It's called the Global Biodiversity Assessment. It came out of the Second Earth Summit in 1992. And it is 1,142 pages. We've summarized that, and you'll find out they really want to take away our property. They want to get us out of our cars. They intend to take away our homes and put us into what they call sustainable communities. They want smart growth. They're letting the forest burn. Why? That's a way of driving the people out of their homes. You say, why would anybody do that? Well, why would anybody outlaw DDT when it did no harm? And if you doubt that my statement, you need to go into the background of Alexander King of the Club of Rome, and we quote him, his own book, in my Population Control Agenda monograph. Alexander of the Club of Rome said, we outlawed DDT because it was saving lives. That's why we had to outlaw it. So many people were dying of malaria. DDT had saved 500 million lives. That was far too many. There were too many people in the world. And until you understand there really are people who feel that way, you can't understand so much of what's going on today. And behind that are forces of organized evil. If you haven't seen the video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, you need to get it. You need to get our sustainable development syllabus and video. And we have a new video. It's called Sustainable Development, The Road to World War III. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Because if we don't turn back to God, God is going to abandon America to its horrible fate. And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.